From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we present a previously recorded episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank's guest is Pastor Kyle Beshears, author of Apatheism: How We Share When They Don't Care. Here now is Hank Hanegraaff.
And welcome to another edition of Hank Unplugged, the podcast that is committed to bringing the most interesting, informative, and inspirational people directly to your earbuds. Today is no exception. We're going to be talking about a subject that goes under the rubric of apatheism. We'll explain what that is in just a few moments, but recent polling data demonstrates conclusively that the popularization of pseudoscience has played, well, an enormous role in the embrace of both atheism and agnosticism. Think about this. More than two-thirds of the atheistic public and at least one-third of all agnostics now hold that the advance of science makes the existence of God highly unlikely. And the two most influential scientific ideas that have contributed to this precipitous denial of an uncaused first cause are popularized notions of unguided chemical evolution as an explanation for the origins of life, and unguided biological evolution as a pretext for the development of that life. And moreover, pollsters have now duly noted that the rise of nuns and duns — the nuns are those who are not religiously affiliated, and the duns are those who have disengaged from religion — but the rise of these nuns and duns corresponds precisely to the advent of popularized atheism. But what about apatheism? What about the large numbers of people who don't even engage the arguments? While atheism denies God's existence, and agnosticism posits the notion that no one can really know one way or the other, apatheism finds discussions of the sort irrelevant to begin with. And not only irrelevant, but uninteresting and unimportant. But as we'll discover on Hank Unplugged today, that's just the tip of the proverbial iceberg. Conditions, it seems, are absolutely perfect. This is the perfect storm for the flowering of the weed of apatheism. To discuss this is someone who has written an entire book on the subject. And I have read this book cover to cover, not only once, but several times. So I think this is a very important topic. And maybe the word stumbles you. Sometimes agnosticism or atheism stumbles people to one degree or another. But this word is a word that is going to be part of our vocabulary as we continue on in the 21st century, because more and more people are becoming apathetic, not only in the secular culture, but even within the church, the body of Christ, which Christ purchased with his own blood. Well, to talk about this subject is the author of the book, Kyle Beshears. He is the author of a book in the sense of not only defining what this is, but the author of explaining how this creeping notion is an opportunity as well as a blight on our culture. Kyle, again, is the author of Apatheism: How We Share When They Don't Care. And he joins me now on Hank Unplugged. Welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you so much, Hank. I am Extremely excited to be here on the show with you.
So give me sort of an overview of what apatheism is.
So the term apatheism itself is a portmanteau of the words apathy and theism. So it's kind of intuitive, right? It's disinterest toward belief in God or questions related to God's existence. But apatheism is more than just the ism that it implies. So when we think of ism, we're typically thinking of, you know, beliefs. So this is a cognitive term. It's the sum of what we think about something. But I found in kind of exploring apatheism that it's not just based on what a person believes about God, that he is unimportant, but it's also a blending of what they feel about God questions or about God himself. So in the book, I define apatheism as when a person believes that God is unimportant and they feel that way as well. So it's both a belief and a feeling when approaching theism.
Yeah, we can explore that further because there's a lot to unpack in what you just said. What are the conditions under which apatheism flourishes in a society?
So I think that there are four conditions, at least four that I can identify. And you might guess that apatheism is probably going to be present in a secular society where belief in God is contestable. So you have beliefs like atheism or agnosticism. But in a secular society, it doesn't necessarily mean that belief in God is contestable alone. It also means that there are different kinds of beliefs, that there is a diversity of belief. And so in a secular society where belief in God is contestable and diverse, I think those two, as you know, in Western cultures and here in the United States in particular, certainly we fall into that kind of a category. But that's more of the cognitive. On the emotional side of things, I also think that in a culture that's very distracted like ours with advances in technology and also a society that is comfortable where a culture kind of tends to all of your needs and allows you to have the kind of status of life that you desire for yourself. Those four conditions, contestability and diversity of belief and the distraction and comfort as a status of life, I think play into turning to the question of God for many people and wondering, well, what's the point?
Yeah, and I think what you're describing is a culture that has become increasingly secular. We have these distractions, we have this diversity, we have this comfort, we have the contestability that you talked about, the belief in God thought to be something that is in dispute. And part of the reason it's in dispute is because of what I talked about earlier. You have these popular pseudo-scientists who have made it palatable for people to think that an uncaused first cause is completely unnecessary to explain the origin of the universe.
That's correct. And, you know, moving even beyond that, how did we get there? And you alluded to it earlier as well, but you have narratives that flow out from that proposition, like Darwinism, that's setting humanity on a trajectory of advancement, that our best days are actually ahead of us, and we just kind of need to follow the natural evolution of a destiny that's laid before us. So if God is not present, or he's not directing or guiding that, and instead it's us, and we're the heroes of our own story, then God is either a roadblock that we need to get rid of, which, you know, perhaps new atheists in that camp would articulate that kind of objection. But I think for a growing amount of people, it's more that they really don't care if he's not speaking into our advancement. And we know where we came from. We know where we're going. Evolution has given us that answer and that narrative, then what's the point of belief in God any longer?
You tell a very interesting story in the book about your engagement with a Muslim in Cambridge. And the point you're making in that story, which would be probably good to recount for our audience, is that while you and the Muslim did not agree on who God is, both of you agree that he is very, very important, but both of you have also discerned that a lot of people that you come into contact with simply don't care. Their apathy is evident in the way that they conduct themselves.
Yeah, my wife and I were living in Cambridge. My job relocated there, and we were there for 3 years, and we belonged to a very vibrant, very healthy Anglican community. And while we were there, you know, you have a stewardship opportunity of being in a very secular culture, and not just that, but an intellectual hub of a very secular culture. And so naturally, I felt the call to evangelize any way and anyhow that I can. And most of the conversations I had for the first year that I was there didn't go very well.
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Pastor Kyle Beshears. How can you share the gospel with someone who doesn't care? As Western culture becomes increasingly indifferent to questions of faith, diverted by secularism, comfort, and distraction, Christians often encounter people who don't quite doubt the existence of God, they are just apathetic about Him. In the new book, Apatheism, Kyle Beshears urges us to recapture the joy of our salvation and demonstrates how to faithfully display the love of Christ to apatheist friends and neighbors. To receive your copy of Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches during the key month of June to ensure that we end the financial year in a position of strength. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly 3 decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
How can you share the gospel with someone who doesn't care? As Western culture becomes increasingly indifferent to questions of faith, diverted by secularism, comfort, and distraction, Christians today encounter many people who don't so much doubt the existence of a God, but are more or less apathetic about God. In fact, for the first time in human history, a vast number of individuals are not interested to ponder the existence of God. In Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care, Kyle Beshears urges us to recapture the joy of our salvation and demonstrates how to reveal the love of Christ to apatheist friends and neighbors. To receive your copy of Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.
we are down to the wire. Our fiscal year ends in just days, and it is essential that we finish the year strong in order to continue offering outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, like the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your generous support will make a difference. Will you stand shoulder to shoulder with us? To join us in the battle for life and truth, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. Let's rejoin Bible Answer Man host Hank Hanegraaff and his guest, Pastor Kyle Beshears, in their conversation.
My wife and I were living in Cambridge. My job relocated there, and we were there for 3 years, and we belonged to a very vibrant, very healthy Anglican community. And while we were there, you know, you have a stewardship opportunity of being in a very secular culture, and not just that, but an intellectual hub of a very secular culture. And so naturally, I felt the call to evangelize any way and anyhow that I can. And most of the conversations I had for the first year that I was there didn't go very well. I kind of mistook that for hostility. I was very much kind of operating out of that new atheist framework that this is a bother or a trouble or even dangerous. And so here's this Christian trying to tell me something otherwise, and I don't want to hear it. Or that they were just too busy. Of course, you're a student in Cambridge. It takes up a lot of your time. But it wasn't until a chance meeting with a Muslim who was proselytizing in the market square there in the center of the city that I kind of realized this thing that I thought that I couldn't put a name to it, which ends up being apathyism. And the chance encounter went like this. It was cold and wet, as it is in the winter months in England. And I had seen this man out there for months, and he had a booth that he set up, and he was giving out tracts and pamphlets and copies of the Quran. But most of the material that he gave ended up, you know, being filed away in the trash bin at the other end of the market. And he looked really dejected on this really soggy day. So I bought him a cup of coffee and I walked over to him. And really what I was trying to do was to show him a little bit of empathy, hospitality, so that I could have a kind of gospel conversation with him. And through that conversation, one of the things we realized, like you said, is both of us were very firm in our beliefs of what, you know, theologians would call classic theism, the belief in a transcendent creator God that is wholly other or different from his creation. But there were certain things we definitely disagreed on, especially as it related to the person and work of Jesus Christ. But the thing that got me in that conversation was, despite all of our agreements and the conversations that we had, the thing he pointed out to me was that he was not able to have conversations with a lot of folks there in the market, not because they were hostile to the message that he was trying to bring, belief in God, but that they were completely indifferent. And he asked a question that haunted me, and it was this: they don't care about God. How could that possibly be? And that question really rattled me, because as a believer, belief in God is both the core of our lives and the foundation of it. And we orbit belief in God. It affects every aspect of our life, or at least it should, and we build our lives on top of it. And so here is a guy pointing out to me that there's a whole people group, that we maybe can call them, that are coming not only from a completely different worldview, but from a completely different universe from that standpoint, that the thing that is so core and central and foundational to my own life is completely irrelevant to them. And so that kind of conversation, that chance encounter, is what launched me into trying to not only understand where apathyism comes from, but what it is, and then how might Christians engage it in our culture.
You know, it's interesting, as you're talking, I was thinking about the apathyism that so many Christians themselves manifest. So they have right belief, but they're not emotionally attached to their belief. I'll give you an example. We're going to be celebrating in Orthodoxy this week the second most important feast day of the year. The first, obviously, is Pascha or Easter. But 50 days later, we celebrate Pentecost. Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is now, as it were, unleashed on the world. You not only have that unleashing of the Holy Spirit whereby Peter preaches a Pentecost message and 3,000 people are added to the small group of 120, but in addition to that, you have the birth of the church in earnest. So this is a very exciting feast day. But how many people will go to church and they'll simply go through the motions and not recognize that we're celebrating something epic, something that is transformational to the world? And so they themselves have become apathetic toward the greatest gift that we could possibly be given, the gift of the Holy Spirit, manifest in tongues of fire, a mighty rushing wind. I mean, here you have something epic that happened, we're celebrating it, and we're apathetic. Why is that?
That's a tough question, and not only to answer it at face value, but it's tough to answer it from a pastoral perspective as a fellow disciple of Christ, because you're right, there are so many people within the pews that have kind of given into this apathyism. And I would start by kind of reminding us that we live in the same cultural conditions as our apatheistic neighbors. So just like them, we too live in a culture where belief in God is contestable, where it's diverse, where our status of life is distracted, and we're very comfortable. So perhaps part of the reason is that we've kind of given into being shaped more by our culture than we would care to admit, where belief in God is not so strong because we've sat through philosophy classes under an atheistic professor, or we've been proselytized by members of another religion. We lack the bandwidth to really consider what it means that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins on a cross, rose again, all power and authority has been given over to him, and we've been regenerated anew by his Holy Spirit to his glory. We have eternal life. And thinking of that, your place in that narrative is sadly in competition with all of the many other narratives that we distract ourselves with. The news cycle, which is something we're constantly catechizing ourselves with. Media, long-running television series, stories, all of these things in our culture are very distracting for us too. And we're comfortable. You know, when you really understand as best as we can what that birth of the church means, it's calling us to a very comfortable life. It's calling us to die to self and to proclaim the gospel in word and deed to the ends of the earth. That's a hard thing to respond to if you value tranquility over kind of the theology that's driving the church. So I would say, hey, we live in that exact same culture as apatheists do, and it's good to not only understand why kind of they're in an apathetic state, but how their apathetic state might actually be seeping into our lives as well. And another thing too is, I think Protestants, as a Reformed Protestant myself, I think we're particularly guilty of not allowing theology to saturate the heart. The big part of preaching is trying to get the truths of Scripture buried deep into our hearts. We like to say things like orthodoxy leads to orthopraxy, right? So our right beliefs will automate or automatically lead to our right behavior. But I recently wrote an article for our church where I argue that that might not necessarily be true, that we're missing a term here, which I described as orthagape, so a right desire or right love shaped by the Word of God, by theology. There's a Baptist theologian, John Dagg, who argued that when theology is learned, it's not supposed to be put on a shelf and to become an object of speculation, but it's supposed to be deposited deep in our heart where its sanctifying power is felt, and in that feeling it drives us to move. He has this beautiful image of true orthodoxy, of thick theology as the Spirit of God hovering over the human heart, just as the Spirit of God hovered over the original chaos in Genesis 1, bringing order out of confusion and kind of infusing light where darkness had once reigned. And this is not in the book, and I love that we're having this part of the discussion, but I think part of kind of leaving that same cultural milieu that apatheists find themselves in is recognizing that there is a deep connection between our heads and our hearts, and our ears and our hearts, and that when we hear biblical theological truth of the Christian faith, especially the core elements of it, it ought to stir our heart towards a right affection or an orthogapy, and in that orthogapy leading us to a life rightly lived for God.
We've run out of time for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Be sure to tune in again next time when we'll continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Pastor Kyle Beshears, author of Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care. As our thanks for standing with us in the battle for life and truth during the financially critical month of June, Hank would like to send you a copy of Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care by Kyle Beshears. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's mind-shaping outreaches during the key month of June to ensure that we end the financial year in a position of strength. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.